Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
This is a harrowing story of a desperately poor and isolated nation, a shipwrecked ferry, children lost at sea, and a small group that survived against the odds. This happened in Kiribati, a nation of 144,000 people spread out for a distance that's the same size as the United States. Except most of it is ocean. It's a nation that believes in the importance of education, and that's why children from the islands often travel for days, sometimes in treacherous conditions, to get to school by boat. In a story that was still unfolding as we were telling it, you're about to hear that sometimes that can lead to tragedy. On Open House, we spoke live with Maria Timon Chi Fang, whose cousin is still missing, and Mariso Moa, whose brother Ken was the first mate on a ferry that broke up at sea.
The ocean is massive, and also because a lot of people cannot afford to fly to go by plane, via plane, so you would see a lot of people traveling mostly by boat because it's cheaper than the plane. And again, for example, my island, my home island, from the main island to my home island is 1.5 a day by boats. And if the boat goes around the islands before my island, sometimes it takes a month before I get to my island. So that really shows how big our ocean is. It's very big.
Wow. And yet to go to school is such an important thing, isn't it?
It is, and nowadays a lot of parents are encouraging their kids and to go to school, to be well-educated for their future. And, for example, with the issue that just happened a few weeks ago with the boats that broke down right in the middle because my head that it was just too overcrowded on the boat and it just split into pieces. And unfortunately, out of 88, only 7 survived. My dad's mother is also from this island, Nanos. So I believe that I have a lot of relatives on this boat, including my first cousin, who is just 18 years old, going to school.
And you haven't heard from him?
Unfortunately, no.
You have somebody with you. Now, Mariso is with you, yeah?
Mariso is right next to me, and his brother is one of the survivors. And we talked with his brother over the phone just a few minutes ago, and it's very devastating, the story, how the people tried to survive and how they gave up some of the people. So I'll let Mariso tell you the story.
Thank you.
Okay, and this is Mariso.
Thank you. You're an Open House around Australia, and we're speaking with Maria and Mariso. They're from Kiribati, and this terrible ferry accident.
Hi, hello.
Hello, Mariso. Welcome to Open House, and thank you for joining us on the program. Now, you've just spoken to your brother?
Yes, just recently, about 3 hours ago. That's right.
Now, he was on that ferry. Tell me what it was like.
First of all, he is the first mate, eh? So he's second in charge after the captain, and then he's one of the crew. One of the crew.
So when did they get into trouble?
From what we heard, it happened on the 18th of January. But that's the date when they first left the remote island Nonose, and 18th of Jan. And I'm not quite sure, maybe 2 days later or maybe 3 days later, the incident happened. Yeah.
And what was it that happened?
I heard from him that he's the one that... He's the one that controlled the boat or the ship through the reef, and then he's the one that went through the reef, and then he handed over the wheel to the crew, and then when they reached the ocean side, he said that The crew that he handed over the wheel,
mm-hmm.
they ran back to him and they called him. They said that the captain wanted him back on the wheel. And so he went back and he noticed that the crew members have distributed the life jacket and the captain was there. He told my brother to hold the wheel again, and then on that very moment, and they heard another crack because of the waves were the waves were too big, and the sea was rough actually, and then he heard another crack, and then that very moment the ship got broken in two pieces, because it's a catamaran, actually.
Oh, so the two hulls separated apart.
Yeah, and then that happened almost maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah, and.
And were there enough life jackets for everybody on board?
According to my brother, he mentioned that all the passengers have been given the life jacket, and including the captain and the crews.
Mm-hmm.
Only himself, he got in the middle of the incident, and when we was in the open sea, he didn't wear any life jacket. And so when the incident happened, he remembered that the captain told him to go and get fetch there's a yellow bag in his cabin where all the flashlights and there's another
signaling equipment, flares and things. Yes.
Yeah, there's another equipment that you just press and the button and it give out the signal. What do you call that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had to dive in again and search for those equipment, and he brought it. It was located in a yellow bag, and so he took it back to the captain. Yes, and when the incident happened, there were two rafts on the boat. Save the raft. So the captain used one of the rafts. And my brother and the rest of the passengers were using the other raft, and there are two other boats apart from the two rafts. So the passengers were just they were reaching out to these life-saving boats and raft when the incidents happened.
You're on Open House around Australia. We're speaking with Mariso, and with him is Maria. They're from Kiribati. Mariso's brother was one of the officers on the ferry that has gone missing, that sank.
Yes.
And he's just heard in the last couple of hours that his brother survived that. Now, so far, he's one of, seven people who've been rescued?
Yeah, yes.
How did the rescue take place, Mariso?
My brother recalled that it's about 10 days later after the incident happened.
10 days?
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said, almost 10 days or more than 10 days. That's what he said. The food, as the storage of food, because when the incident happened, my brother tied up all the food that they can get hold of, and especially the coconut, the dried coconut.
Yes.
They have to took it to the mainland. So they've been eating that throughout the days, and then after the ration have come, finished, and that's the time they getting some of the, especially the ladies on the boat, died one by one, with their kids. Yeah. And so, it took them, almost, 10 days, after they finished all the ration. And
Marissa, did they have enough water? Did they run out?
They run out of food and they also run out of water. Oh, actually, goodness. They don't have enough water. And he said that he had to, he took the sea water and vibrated, used the sun heat. And then that's how he managed to put because my second cousin is also on the boat, and he's the one that provide water from that
evaporation source,
evaporation source to my cousin sister and also to the other ladies who being survived found after they finish all the food and the water.
Now, Marissa, we understand that a number of school children were on that boat. They were going to school to start the school term. What was your brother able to tell you about the fate of those kids?
Yes, it's too sad to hear that most of the school students, especially the boys, they are the ones that are hanging at the edge of the boat, allowing the old ladies and the young girls to be located on the boat actually. And yes, most of the young boys were missing every night, when it night comes, maybe they slept oversleep, or maybe they because they can hold no longer to the boat. So the next day you will find out that two or three went missing. Yeah.
So just to be clear about what you said, because there wasn't enough room in the boats, the boys, the schoolboys, would hang on to the edge of the boat so that women and others, girls, could be inside the boats. And you're saying that at night, some stage, they lost grip and just, slipped away?
Yes, I think that's what he meant. But as I've said, there are the other. There's another boat, so could be happening in the other boats, but I think that's what might happen. But the boat that he guided, yes, that's what he said. Some of the boys were lost in the night, and schoolboys especially.
Yes. And Marissa, there were planes looking, New Zealand and Australian planes. Is that how they were found?
Yeah, till now, I guess I heard from him that still no sign of the rest of the passengers. I'm so sorry to say that, and I feel sad to hear that and to learn about that. And yes,
is there a chance that they are still alive?
Yeah, he mentioned something that because the captain is using the other raft, and still up to this moment, he haven't been found, and there are also some passengers with him, and he also mentioned that the two boats that he've been for the first time when the incident happened. He also the boat, the second boat, he separated. They've been separated, and there are also passengers on the other boats and with the other raft. So, he said that with one boat, there are almost 20 something, or maybe 28 women all together, including kids. And the rest are young men and men that are clinging to the boat that he was looking after. So yes, I suppose they're still around. I'm not sure, but yeah, I pray that
Well, what would you like the people who listen to this program to be praying for your country and for these people?
Yes. First of all, I would like to have to use this opportunity to thank the Australian and the New Zealand government for their effort and all their time. I guess without their heart, they won't. My brother and my cousin, sister, and those who are on the boat won't be rescued. My brother mentioned that maybe one more day or two, my cousin sister will also be a victim, or she will also die. But luckily, the plane came, and he said it may circle around them, and then he dropped a container that consists of water only, right, almost 1 meter apart from their boats. It was very easy for them to catch, and then, yes, and that happened, I guess, Sunday on the.
And then I gather they diverted a fishing boat then to come and pick the people up.
Yeah. And then they dropped the radio. They were able to. My brother communicated with the plane, and the plane told them that the plane will search. There's a nearby fishing boat. The plane now said that he will fetch and ask the boat to pick them up.
Well, I think we will keep praying that by some miracle the other boat will be found. But also actually, just be with you. Let's just uphold your family and your cousin and Maria and her cousin. Uphold their families in prayer over the next few days.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no, not at all. Thank you for your generous gift of giving us your time this evening. Thank you, Marissa.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Now, if you want to be able to help Kiribati, then we think the best way you can do that, one of the best ways, is to get in touch with Caritas. Caritas, as you know, is a Catholic relief agency, and it's working in Kiribati. And I know that Caritas would welcome cash donations, as always, to help in just general relief. But long-term, medium to long-term, we need, as a country, to take seriously the plight of nations like this. Did you hear what Maria said at the start of our interview? Maybe you've just joined us. 3 metres above sea level. 3 metres. And you think about a big wave comes, or, you know, full moon, and quite often the sea is encroaching on the land. And as sea levels rise, 3 metres is not a big buffer. And that's what's happening around the world. Sea levels are rising. So there is a big need when kids have to get on a boat to go to school. And to hear that story of the boat breaking up and those young boys slipping away in the middle of the night, well, just God be with them all. You're on Open House around Australia.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.